When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Hi, I'm Andrea.
And I'm Emily.
And you're listening to...
Grizzly.
Grapes. I could hear you like breathing through your nose there for a hot second. Ew, stop, please. I think like the noises that we make in the podcast where you can hear us like pouring wine and sipping wine and everything is a little bit unsettling for those
who don't like human beings. We're human beings who want to drink their wine and breathe through their nose.
I need to breathe. I know. Emily, can you believe it is episode 20?
We've lasted every single time.
This feels like a big milestone. This is 20 plus week. 20 weeks of making podcasts together.
You know what's weird? I was thinking about today is like it's at the point where I can't even remember which embarrassing stories we've talked about.
I know. I feel like I'm going to start repeating myself. I even have forgotten about some cases that we've done. And I was looking through the listing that we have on Buzzsprout just to make sure that we're not repeating ourselves sometimes. But and I was like, are you okay?
I went down the wrong pipe.
Are you going to live?
Death by wine.
Well, I'll tell your story.
What
on
a way to
podcast.
Go.
I know.
Remember me.
Remember me. Well, I don't remember any of our topics. So I was actually kind of surprised when I was looking back at some of the ones that we have done. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot that we covered that.
I know. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. So. Do you have any weekly updates? Do you need to pick whatever that is out of your nose that's causing your nose to whistle?
Do you hear it?
Yes.
Is it really that bad?
Yes.
I'm self-conscious. I never noticed it before.
What's that song by 2 Chainz? The do-do-do-do. You could do that from your nose.
Headband?
Yeah, headband. The whistling and headband. You could do that in your nose.
Maybe I should just...
I had to pause before taking a sip because that was going to definitely come out of my nose.
Then you'll whistle like me.
Yeah. Well, any...
I don't know. It's the moderate grass pollen out today, I think. That's what I blame. I have to follow the weather sometimes. And I saw that there was an allergen alert saying that the pollen was kind of high. Now it's moderate, but...
How is it that you and I are identical twins, but I don't have allergies and you do? Like, you're allergic to animals that shed, and I'm not.
And you have allergies.
I do.
I'd say I can live with mine.
I know. Well, right now I can't live with whatever's on my hand. Okay. This is, I guess, my story for the week. My hand is very much like the bread I baked earlier in the week, where it has doubled in size.
Oh, my God. It's huge. It's so huge.
I have, like, hand dimples, and it's, like, red, and it's really, really painful right now. But I was taking antihistamines, and I was putting Neosporin on it. I suspect that it might actually be a spider bite from when I was out gardening the other day, because I was picking some basil and strawberries and tomatoes, and there was a lot of spiders and insects around, so I'm suspecting that that what did me in, but holy crap, it hurts really bad. But I am going through the pain right now because podcasting is life.
Oh my God. If you turn into like Spider-Man.
That's what I'm hoping will happen. I'll just get to kind of fling my way through New York, and that's how I'll get to like all my clients. I'll just Spider-Man.
I feel like you'd rather be a mole person.
Maybe I'll fight mole people. Now that would be pretty great.
An I epic think. Battle between spider and mole.
Yeah.
Who will win?
Definitely not me, that's for sure. I'm like, ouchie, my hand. Dimpling. And then there's people that are like living underneath the ground eating rats.
That are fighting the sewer rats of New York City for scraps.
And I'm like, ow, my hand.
Ouchie, my hand hurts.
Ouchie, I have a boo-boo. Emily, kiss it and make it feel better.
Ew.
Why is that ew? I think that's touching and a beautiful thing. Well, do you have anything to say for yourself this week?
Honestly, no.
Your hair is looking pretty fly, though. You gave it a trim, right? Right before recording?
Oh, yeah. I don't trust people with my hair. I feel really suspicious. Trust myself. And though, shout out to Mackenzie, because she's the only person who I've let touch my hair in years. We dyed it randomly during confinement. She made hers blonder, and I made mine redder. But of course, now it's all out. But honestly, for winter, I was digging the look. Speaking of that, your highlights look bomb.
Thanks for complimenting my highlights. I am a little dark at the roots, and so I got my ceremonial box dye to fix my roots once more. Oh my God. But I guess that's a good sign, because my hair during the pandemic was like falling out. I think I spoke about that like the first episode. And so I have like bald spots. And my hair like didn't grow. And now it's growing pretty exponentially, and that makes me really happy.
That is a good sign.
I can still hear the whistling out of your nose.
Stop! I can't help it. I'm really self-conscious.
It's okay. I'll try and edit it out best I can. What if I just remixed it like to something like...
Oh my God, if you can make headband out of my nose.
That would be pretty lit. What's one of the good quotes from that one? That song by 2 Chainz.
Oh, what a night. But what a night. The roof is on fire. So what? I'm high.
No. Well, I should do it in the mirror. Dancing like Shakira.
Like she do it in the mirror.
Yeah. Well.
Chop one, chop two, chop that ass down. Chop that ass down. I need you to drop that ass
down. Do you remember
down.
That one Christmas where instead of playing Christmas music, we just played 2 Chainz all night?
I forgot about that.
I know. And I guess that's one of the reasons as to why my Instagram handle is 2 Tolls. It's, yes, you guessed it, it's after 2 Chainz. So that explains that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying not to do... I just feel like we've been doing a lot of like long in-depth cases recently. So I'm stockpiling my New York horror stories for a later episode. Because I wrote, I think, eight pages? Yeah, 8 pages on this one, so get ready.
That's as much as our, like, two-parters.
I know. I probably should have split this up into two, but...
on all days, it has to be today. Well, okay, folks, I've been up since 5 in the morning. And I'm feeling...
Oh, what a night.
Oh, what a night.
Well, you know, I'm just so excited to tell it to you that if I had to wait another week to tell you the rest of the story, I'd be pretty bummed out, not gonna lie.
Okay, deal. Are you drinking a red right now?
I am, and you can see it on my lips.
Yeah, I can see it on your teeth.
It's not
something just looks different about your face.
I have rotting teeth.
No, it's not that.
Maybe my spider bite is making my teeth rot instantaneously.
You're turning into a zombie.
Oh my god.
It's the spider's revenge. Slapped him into the other century and he comes back.
Oh, what if it was the same spider? Maybe you slapped it all the way from France right onto my rooftop. And this is how it saw me and it thought it was you. It's like my revenge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not joking. My hand is getting more and more painful by the minute. Not trying to be dramatic or anything, but...
You should probably check that out.
Yeah. I probably won't, though. Oops. Well, speaking of red wine, I think that's a good segue into what we're drinking.
Oh my god, you always say segue. I think every episode.
You also say... You always say that I say anywho a lot, but you say anyway, so, a lot.
So...
Anyway, so...
Segway.
It's like one of those words, if you say it way too many times, it just does not seem real. Segway. Segway. Segway.
Segway into wine. Wine. Wine, wine.
Wine, wine, wine.
Wine.
I'll remix wine, that wine. With you, wine. Your nose whistling. Ew, stop, stop, stop. What are you drinking?
Oh, boy. I pregame. I'm not gonna tell you what I'm drinking now because there's a wine shortage in the Tolman household.
That is tragic. Mm. There's a shortage of wine.
Not for mom and dad.
True.
But for me.
Yeah.
Anyway. I said it. Why did you have to laugh like that? Okay. A while ago. At Nick and Sarah's wedding shower, there I played a game. It was just like a scratch-off ticket thing, where if you scratched off a face and it was Nick's, then you won. But really, like, who was winning? Because I got, like, I'm pretty sure I got, like, some hunky celebrity, and I can't remember which one. So, who's the real winner? I had the hiccup.
It was Richard Simmons.
It was Richard Simmons? No. What if it was Bob Ross? I'd be so happy.
Oh my god, actually, I think I might have a crush on Bob Ross.
That's hot. Anyway, our father...
Oh, she said it again.
Stop it. Our father managed to win, and part of his prize was winning one of these Decoy premium seltzers.
Wait, they make seltzers?
Yes, wait till you hear this. It's Chardonnay with Clementine... Clementine orange. And let me tell you, it slaps me right across the face because I am in love.
Oh my god, more in love than I am with Bob Ross.
Yeah, more in love than with Bob Ross. But mom was laughing at me because I was trying to like take a picture of it to show you or make it artsy, Andrea. And so what I ended up doing was stringing.
Super emo.
Shh, I got the mood lighting. Look at this duck. It's pretty emo.
Well, as you know, ducks are my favorite animals, so I will not say it's quite emo. I think it's cute.
Okay, it's cute and emo. Doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. Okay, anyway, so true. I strung it with a wire to try and get this lighting without my ugly hands in there. And my mom walked in, and that was embarrassing. I felt like how people must feel on, what's that one, Instagram, where it's like influencers in the wild?
Yes.
That's what I felt like. And I was in my own home.
Mom should have taken a picture of you in the wild.
I know. Anyway, I said it again. It's 5.5% alcohol and 80 calories per can. Zero added sugar. We love her.
That's less than your standard White Claw at 90 calories. 10 calories less.
And I don't know if they come out with... They probably have other flavors. I didn't look into it that much. But this orange one slaps.
I love Clementine.
The duck's even... I love Clementine. Look at this duck. It's holding a little orange
peel.
Does it
have a Clementine peel in
its
mouth?
Yes! It's really cute.
That's the cutest thing ever. Oh my god. I'm shook.
Anyway. That's me. You, Andrea, what are you drinking today? It's a red, I can tell.
It is due to my... teeth/lips. I got the wine stains are real, but I thought that perhaps this might be a bottle of piss at first because I left it in a hot car for about a week and a half and completely forgot about it until I put it in the fridge, and I was a little nervous to open it, but as like you, I have a little bit of a wine shortage. Brendan doesn't have a wine shortage, but I have a wine shortage. Because I
what
usually
does that
have
say
a
about
stash.
Us?
Well, you know what? I actually haven't been wine shopping recently because I don't know. I can't remember if I said it in the last podcast, but I changed medication. So now I can't really drink all that much. So yeah. So I don't really have a reason to go to the wine store as much anymore, but I found this in Connecticut whilst visiting Brendan's family, and it is called Apothic Dark. And let me show you on the webcam.
Okay, that's emo.
It's emo AF.
Blows and my duck cork- out of the water.
The cork actually was like pitch black too, which I was a little bit startling for me. And it looked almost like,
oh my god.
Yeah, it almost looked like styrofoam, like not quite like a cork. And again, I thought this would be crap because it is a red blend once more, and it is vintage.
We love the
2018.
Scary.
It's a little older than some of the ones we've been drinking lately.
That is kind of vintage.
I thought it was nice and emo for a true crime podcast this week. So the case I'm doing is in South America. So I did not want to get a South American wine because, as you know, I do not like South American wines.
I keep seeing them at the grocery store and I really want to try them because they look kind of good. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it once.
I'll do it one of these days, but
I just
Well, it's from California, and what's the volume? It's a high one. It's 13.9%, and it is a red blend. I'm not quite sure what's in the red blend.
Yeah, why is it just mystery meat?
It's red grapes, and it's mystery meat. Oh, that just reminded me. Can I tell people the story of the blood of Christ? When I was in
what's
Ireland,
the most emo?
Yeah, the blood of Christ. When I was in Ireland, I think most people in this world have heard of mincemeat pies. But, when I was studying in Ireland, I had no clue what mincemeat pies were because when you think of mince and meat, you think of like ground beef. So here I have it in my head that it's a ground beef pie, like some sort of meaty pie. It has like powdered sugar on top of it. And I was like, the actual F, ew, sweet ground beef. And so Kira and I were like, let's be brave and try it. And so we got a small one and we decided we'd split it, not knowing what to expect. It's a sweet pie. It's like ground up fruits. It is not meat. So it is so confusing that they name it a mincemeat pie.
Misleading.
It was so misleading. Oh my god. Well,
I love that story.
Yeah. Well, anyway, shall we delve into? I'm first this week, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous about it because I don't know.
You're going to have to start that sentence over.
I'm kind of nervous because I feel like your story is mince meaty and mine is only mince.
Yours is ground beef to my mince meat pie.
Yeah, mine is the ground beef and yours is...
Okay.
No, mine is the powdered sugar on your mince meat pie.
I think, well, then, you know what? It complements each other, then. Mine's beef. Only so long. sugary.
I can hear my nose whistling.
Hot, sweet beef.
No.
Ew.
The tears come back.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
We really, the joke from last week, we literally just carried that through the entire episode shamelessly, so.
I still can't get over it.
Okay, can I just mention really quick that on that video, some person had the audacity just to only comment no on it. And I didn't know what that was in response to, like, no, you don't want opium and cocoa butter shoved up your butt, or no, you don't want to see this video.
No.
In a mystery.
Wait.
I
didn't see that, but I kind of am living for it. No.
Well, either way, as to what he meant, we'll continue doing what we're doing. And so I am doing The Lost Women of Panama. Also known as the Lost Girls of Panama, but they're not girls, they're women. So I refuse to do that in my title.
Bless you.
So this is the story of Lisanne Froon and Chris Kramers. So actually, this was a suggestion from one of our listeners, I believe Tyler, who is one of my really good friends from undergrad.
Hi, Tyler.
We actually, when we studied abroad in Dublin for the first time, we actually traveled to London together, and I will never forget walking out of the subway and accidentally seeing Big Ben for the first time. And I was like, oh, wow, that clock is actually ginormous. But yes, I believe he's the one who suggested this case to me. So I wanted to honor our listener suggestions again this week. So...
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lisanne and Chris were two Dutch university students who had met while working in, I'm going to butcher this, in Den Kleinen Hop restaurant and became fast friends and eventually roommates. Both women were from Amersfoort in the Netherlands.
What is
this? Let me spell it for you. It's AmersFoort. I don't know how you add two R's. So Amersfoort. Amersfoort, Netherlands. Amersfoort. Lisanne, 22, was a psychology student, and Chris, 21, was a student of cultural social education. Once Lisanne finished her degree, both women decided to travel to do volunteer work in a remote school in Panama and also to learn Spanish along the way. They both saved for 6 months for their trip and even raised money to purchase toys for the children of the school.
Precious.
I know. Finally, the day had come for their exciting journey to begin. They hugged their families goodbye before boarding their plane in Amsterdam. They arrived in Panama on March 15th, 2014, and began their time in Bocas del Toro at the start of their six-week vacation. They spent this initial time exploring, dancing, drinking, and relaxing on the white sand tropical beaches. Chris and Lisanne met up with two Dutch men during their travels and spent time with them as well. On March 31st, 2014, Chris and Lisanne arrived in Boquete, a mountainous small town in western Panama, close to the border of Costa Rica. Due to the high altitude, the climate is much milder. Upon their arrival, they learned from the language school, in which they had set up their trip with, notified both women that there was a typo, and they would not be getting their school work on Monday, as they had expected. Both were notably disappointed. They settled in with their host family, who had hosted a slew of international students prior, planning on staying with them for the 4 weeks they were volunteering. The women had their own room in the house with its own separate entrance. That night, Chris read a book and Lisanne spoke with the host family. Lisanne had a history of asthma, and it was noted that she had a slight cough that evening. The following day, I know. The following day, the women spent time exploring Boquete and began to make the most of their delay and book tours and spend activities through the language school. They booked trips to a strawberry farm, coffee plantation, and a hike to explore the volcano, Volcan Buru, which is an active volcano, mind you. On April 1st, Chris and Lisanne had plans to hike El Pianista Trail, which means the pianist in English, which passes through the dense jungle and cloud forest, where low-hanging water vapor hinders visibility. The trail reaches a height of over 6,200 feet above sea level and can be very muddy and steep in elevation. The hike, on average, takes roughly 5 to 6 hours, so a half-day hike. The beginning of the hike winds through pastures and quickly ascends into the mountains and into the jungle. Both women kept journals during their travels. On April 1st, Chris wrote at the end of her entry, "Well, let's go with the Panamanian flow then." Lisanne and Chris dressed in light clothing for the warm day and packed a Canon digital camera, both their phones, a water bottle, medical insurance card, passport, and some money in Lisanne's blue backpack. They took a taxi to the trailhead. Despite the alleged warning of their taxi driver not to hike the trail alone, both of the young women felt confident as they had met with a local guide the day prior and did not feel it would be an issue. The hike is not particularly difficult and is traversed by many international travelers each year. The women had a local restaurant's dog with them named Blue, also reported to be the host family's dog, but most of them note that it's actually the restaurant's dog. So they took cheerful pictures at the start of the hike and posted one to Facebook and then set off up the trail, but they never came back. The restaurant owners became alarmed when Blue returned later in the evening of April 1st, unaccompanied and unharmed. On April 2nd, 2014, a local tour guide was surprised when Chris and Lisanne did not show up for their arranged tours that day. He visited the language school, but they reported they had not heard from the young women since the day prior. The guide then allegedly visited the host family to see if the women were at home, but they were not. In an unsubstantiated report, a group of French travelers set off to hike the same trail that Chris and Lisanne had taken, but allegedly a local warned them not to enter the jungle as they had heard screams the night before. The tour guide set off up the trail on April 2nd to search for Chris and Lisanne, but did not notify police of their disappearance until hours later that evening. The families of Chris and Lisanne became alarmed as well when they did not receive a text from the women, as it was something they received every day. On April 3rd, Panamanian authorities began official aerial and ground searches. On April 4th, the helicopter was able to fly, but due to the density of the jungle, could not see anything. Flyers were handed out to local tribes to ask for information regarding the missing women, but still nothing. On April 6th, Chris and Lisanne's parents arrived in Panama to aid in the searches, as well as detectives from the Netherlands, which, how amazing is it to have the police from your home country come to a different jurisdiction, a completely different country, on a completely different continent? Does America do that?
To try
Probably
and find
not.
Who knows? Somebody knows, but it's not me.
And it's not me. Somebody write in if you know differently. So I went down a rabbit hole when I was researching this, and this is why it is so long, because I stayed up till like past midnight one night, or multiple nights this week, where I was watching like documentaries on YouTube about this case and like scrolling through Reddit feeds, because, oh my God, there's just so much information out there. You can go down like 1,000 rabbit holes on this. It is insane. The language school that they were due to be volunteering for offered a reward for any tips leading to the women being found. And also their parents offered a $30,000 reward of their own too. On April 8th, the head of rescue announced that they had searched all possible routes for the young women without finding a trace, and hints that it is possible the women are not lost. So some feared foul play, and tips began to pour in. Some stated that they saw the women enter the town. Some reported seeing a red car at the trailhead. However, these tips did not lead to anything substantial. On April 13th, almost 2 weeks after the women went missing, search efforts were postponed, and Panamanian authorities asked locals to continue to monitor. On May 16th, over a month later, a tip was anonymously given that two skeletons were found in the Culebra. However, the helicopter could not land due to inclement weather. But when it finally did, 2 days later, no remains were found. On May 27th, specialized cadaver dogs, who were trained to search riverbeds, spent 9 days searching the area, but again, nothing was found. Then, on June 14th, a native woman from the Nagabi tribe found a blue backpack near the Culebra River and was identified as the one belonging to Lisanne. That woman swore that the backpack had not been there the days prior. The items found inside were miraculously intact and undamaged and neatly positioned after sitting in the jungle for over 2 months. Found inside the backpack were the bras of both women, both cell phones, the digital camera, sunglasses, water bottle, passport, and $83. This ignited new searches along the Culebra for the women. The data pulled from the cell phones and the digital camera found in the backpack paint a strange and incredibly disturbing picture of the women's disappearance. Are your pantaloons pulled up?
Yes.
Okay. Waistband to the belly button.
It is cinched.
Okay. Because this is about to get really unsettling. On April 1st, along the hike, there are 33 pictures taken this day. 23 have been released to the public, of both Lisanne and Chris. Initially, they are excitedly smiling and taking selfies. According to photo number 499 on the digital camera, they reached the summit at approximately 1:01 p.m. Both women pose with the scenic view of the jungle below them. Photos following this, later in the hike, are not cheerful. The pictures show Chris distanced ahead of Lisanne at various points of the trail, who was holding the camera. There are no pictures of the two together, and no pictures are ever taken of Lisanne again. These pictures evidence that the two women were hiking toward the Continental Divide, which is beyond the peak and not part of the main trail. There are many channels and trails that veer off from the main one, which are used exclusively by the local tribes. In one such photo taken by Lisanne shows one of these deep channels, which is traveled by the local tribes. Then, the calls to emergency services began. At 4:39 p.m., a call was made from Chris's iPhone to 112, the emergency number of the Netherlands. Then shortly after, at 4:51, from Lisanne's Samsung to 112 once more. Neither of these calls connected, and both phones were switched off for the next 14 hours. On April 2nd, at 6:58 a.m., Lisanne's phone switches on and attempts to make a call to both 112 and 911, the emergency number of Panama. This call connects, but only for less than 2 seconds, and then drops. This will be the only call that connected. Each Lisanne's and Chris's phones try that day to connect to emergency services with no avail. Lisanne's phone attempted 3 times and Chris's attempted 1. At 1:50 p.m., Lisanne's phone is switched on to search for signal and then shut off again at 4:19 p.m. for the evening. This pattern continues for the next 2 days with one attempt from Chris's phone to contact 911 at 9:32 a.m. on April 3rd. This will be the last attempt to call emergency services. However, the phones are both turned on and off through April 3rd and April 4th to check for signal. On April 4th at 5 o'clock a.m., Lisanne's phone is turned on for the last time to check for signal, and then the battery dies. On April 5th, at 10:50 a.m., Chris's phone is turned on to check for signal. Then, strangely, Chris's phone is turned on again at 1:37 p.m., but the wrong PIN is entered, and then it is switched off for the rest of the day. On April 6th, Chris's phone was turned on both 10:26 a.m. and 1:37 p.m., but again, the wrong PIN was entered. What is strange, too, is how regimented these calls are between April 4th and April 6th, I noticed. I don't know if I'm just reading into things, but 2 calls from Chris's phone always are between 10 to 11 a.m. and 1 to 2 p.m. On April 7th, the phones were never switched on. On April 8th, from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m., are a series of 90 mysterious photos that were taken in quick succession in the dense, dark jungle. Water droplets can be seen in these photos, but the camera lens does not seem to be too wet. They are all cryptic, showing pieces of a red plastic bag tied to a stick, what appears to be toilet paper spelling out SOS, a rusty mirror or piece of reflective material, and most disturbingly, a part of Chris's head showing blood matted in her hair. It is believed by some that at this time, they were close to a local cable bridge over a steep ravine. It is extremely strange that after a week, they now took out the camera in the night and rapidly took photographs. The last photo taken was number 609. Taken at 4:10 a.m.
It's a weird time.
So, Emily, I sent you the photos. What are your thoughts and feelings thus far?
I'm really uncomfortable. This is, like, nightmarish. And I'll, Like, in my head, I'm just like, what the hell is happening? Like, what did they see? What did they experience? What is going on?
That drives me nuts. And that's what's kept me up this week. Like, I'm not
these
gonna
are
lie.
So cryptic.
And they're so spooky.
Yeah. It's so unsettling. But what the hell is going on?
I know. I'm going to post them to the Instagram. And I highly suggest that people take a break right now and, like, go check them out if you haven't already. But yeah, they are spooky and extremely unsettling. So there are multiple theories as to why these 90 pictures were taken. Some believe the women used the flash to light their way in the pitch black jungle. However, expert photo analysis state that the pictures are low to the ground and in the same area as if they were sitting or laying in one spot. Some believe they use the flash to ward off large predators. Some believe that the women were being stalked by something or someone and were using the flash to see. One theory states that the women were using the flash to try and signal to search and rescue helicopters. Some believe that they were documenting their location in hopes that the camera would be found. And some believed that Chris was dead at this point due to the evidence of the head wound, and Lisanne was documenting where the body could be found. Another bit of evidence to substantiate this was that her phone PIN was entered incorrectly on April 5th and April 6th. There was also the risk of exposure, as they had no food, water, or warm clothing. With a head wound. With a head wound or not, the chances of survival were extremely low. The next few days, the camera and phones would remain off. And then on April 11th, 2014, Chris's phone was turned on at 10:51 a.m. But the PIN was again incorrect. The phone remained on for a little over an hour until it was shut off for the very last time at 10:56 a.m. There were no final photos of the women's faces. There were no goodbye notes written on their phones. The only things left was a wrong PIN and one last dim photograph. The evidence provided by the phones and camera puzzled investigators. It proved that Chris and Lisanne ran into trouble starting April 1st and that they had somehow ventured away from the El Pianista Trail. With the backpack being found, investigators felt that they were on the right track, however, to finding the remains of both women, and searches expanded along the Culebra. Finally, on June 19th, 2014, human remains were found by a local tour guide. It was half of a pelvis, parts of a tibia and fibula, and two shoes. One of the shoes did not belong to the women. The other was consistent with the shoes that one of the women were wearing, and inside was an entire foot. Yeah, that part is really unsettling.
I'm really uncomfortable. I'm scrolling through the pictures as you're telling me this.
Are you shook?
It's getting creepier and creepier.
Yeah, it's scary. The bones and bone fragments lay scattered over a wide area, 12 hours on foot from the trail. A pair of jean shorts were found later. Some say they were neatly folded. Some say that they were not. But officials report suggest that it was folded and zippered up. However, again, photographs taken later dispute this. On June 22nd, the foot was identified as that of Lisanne and the pelvis to that of Chris. Over a month later, on July 30th, more bones were found by the Nagabi tribe and were identified as belonging to both women. And on August 29th, more native people found lower leg bones and a rolled up piece of skin along the river. By now, in the jungle conditions, the skin should have definitely decomposed alongside all soft tissues. Following analysis, the skin found belonged to that of Lisanne. Authorities state the cause of death was accidental, caused by falling into the river, which, due to the current and the jagged rocks, pulverized the bodies. There is a metatarsal fracture of the foot found, which authorities use to further their claims, as well as a picture taken at nighttime near the Culebra River, where there is a cable bridge. And so the case was now closed.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But there are many fishy details that leave many confused and concerned. Much of the confusion is centered around the last burst of photographs taken on April 8th. Internet sleuths point to one specific photograph where, in the background, there is an unidentified form. It vaguely resembles a person, which plays into the theory that they were being stalked or kidnapped. There is also no evidence in these photos that either women were alive when taking these photographs. No proof or evidence that Lisanne was the one behind the camera either was found. And so some believe that there may be a third person taking these pictures even. In one photo, it appears that there is a body lying in a ravine, believed to be Chris. However, others believe that it is a leaf or bit of trash. Then there is one picture, perhaps the most controversial, the only one taken between April 1st and April 8th, photo number 509. Specialists have tried to recover the missing photo, which normally is not an issue if the image was manually deleted by pressing the delete button. However, the entire file has been erased, and it is impossible for the camera to skip from 508 to 510. The only way the file could be plausibly erased would be if the camera was hooked up to a computer and software was used to delete the entire file. Perhaps this number 509 was deleted, but then why? Some theorize that this picture may have shown something incriminating. Some theorize that this picture was deleted and that the determination by investigators of the woman's death was a governmental cover-up to protect the area's tourism industry. Between 2009 and 2017, over 20 tourists have gone missing in the greater area and/or were found dead. People believe that there may actually be a serial killer operating in the area, as some bodies, they believe, were dismembered and scattered deliberately. Chris and Lisanne's bones and bone fragments were found scattered over a wide area. Chris's bones were bleached as if they had been doused in lye, and Lisanne's bones somehow miraculously still had skin. It was extremely unlikely that the bones could be bleached in the conditions they were found in or have skin. Investigators explained the scattering of bones as the bodies had been broken apart in the river and being dragged by animals in the jungle. Strangely, though, the skulls have never been recovered. and heads are not typically subject to animals. Also, the bodies did not have any teeth or scratch marks indicative of animals, nor being smashed in the river. The bones appeared to be separated by connective tissues, and only smaller bones were found. And if they fell in the river, why was the backpack and its contents found in pristine condition? Surely if they had fallen into the river, or even if the backpack was left in the jungle for that long, it would have been damaged by torrential rains. Some believe the women were abducted, which accounted for the long periods of time with no phone or camera activity. Perhaps their abductor or abductors knew that there was no cell reception out there. People believe that it could be an attempt in human trafficking or organ harvesting. But then, how were they able to contact emergency services and use their cell phones? Why would someone take that risk of being caught? There was a photo released later which shows two males with two women who vaguely resemble Lisanne and Chris, all swimming off in the distance. Both males in the photograph are since dead. There is no proof that it is the two women, and there is no proof of when it was taken, but it feeds into the earlier reports that locals saw the women return to town. Some believe that perhaps these men are responsible for the women's deaths. This may also explain why both women's bras had been taken off and placed in the backpack. It's been theorized to be the work of a local individual as well, someone with intimate knowledge of the area, such as the local tour guide who initially found the remains. There were actually some allegations of sexual harassment by solo female travelers against this tour guide. Then there is the answer laid out by local authorities, that the women set off that day but veered off the main trail and became lost. There is a picture of Chris where she is looking back at the camera, and she appears to be standing at a dead end. There was also a picture taken of a narrow ravine shortly before the first call to emergency services. Many believe the women became lost and suffered a tragic accident while out in the jungle. There are many theories as to what happened deep in the Panamanian jungle those days. However, the truth and answers still remain a mystery to this day. And that is the story of Lisanne Froon and Chris Kramers.
I'm so uncomfy. Nothing about that is satisfying, and all of it is utterly horrifying.
No, I highly suggest people do a deep dive through Reddit and check it out, because it is, oh my god, it is so unsettling. I can't handle it. So go look at the pictures, go get unsettled, don't sleep tonight.
That is me.
That
I can't stop looking.
You're gonna like search for every last photo, you're gonna look deep into the background, you're gonna dive into all the conspiracy theories, put your little tinfoil hat on until you fall asleep at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Holy shit.
Well, that being said, Emily, do you want to delve into your spooky story?
I feel like I need a break. I need to step away from my phone. Oh my god.
Okay, Emily. Are you ready for me now?
I think so.
Yay. Tell me that spooky story.
Ooh, I hope you're ready. Mine is not 8 pages long, but...
Oh my god, I'm ready.
I just feel like I need to premise this by saying I have realized, because we're talking about looking back through our stories, I realize I am drawn to the stories that are from places that I relate to. You know?
Yeah,
like
I know.
The last one was the White Mountains. I feel like I do Paris a lot. We've done Dublin.
Maine.
Well, Maine is spooky.
We've done quite a few from France.
Yeah. But this story is no different because we're back in Russia, baby.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. I love me some Russia. I was having some good conversations about my time living there, and I forgot how kind of batshit insane it was.
Yeah, it sounds pretty batshit insane.
But anyway, not as batshit insane as this story, which is the story of the Granny Ripper.
Ew,
the
real what? Life
Baba Yaga. The
Baba Tamara Yaga.
Samsonova.
Oh my god.
Eek. Baba Yaga. I know. So when you think the word granny, Baba Yaga conjures the image of a grandmother.
Mm-hmm. I just picture somebody like scooting around with a little walker or something.
Yeah. Or Baba Yaga rides around in a mortar.
Oh.
And a pestle. Is that how you say it?
She Why are you asking me?
I'm saying it wrong. She just flies around in that in some stories, and she lives in a house that has chicken legs. So
I don't that sounds more comical than it is scary.
I know. Well, she is kind of a spooky witch, but
she lives in a house with chicken legs.
Yeah, with chicken legs. It is kind of comical, and you don't really think of old women when you think of serial killers, right?
God, don't tell me this story. I work with old women.
Ooh. Okay, well, all I could think of initially when I started this story is, you know that one horror movie, Legion,
mm-hmm.
where the old woman crawls up the wall and
yes.
then jumps down and bites the
guy's Yes.
That's all I could think of.
And I don't know why, but that scene made me laugh.
I know. This really isn't that far off, I'm not going to lie, except she doesn't climb up a wall.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, we don't know. Maybe she does climb up walls. Maybe she got bit by your spider.
Maybe I can do that. I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll be climbing up walls. And this apartment will have chicken legs.
And you'll fly around in a mortar and pestle. In a mortar. Okay, well, anyway. Oh, I said it again. Oh, damn it. So, this is the story, as I mentioned before, of Tamara Samsonova. She was born in 1947 in part of the, oh my gosh, Krasnoyarsk Krai, I think. Krasnoyarsk.
Beautiful. Roll with
really,
it.
I'm really lit. Unexpectedly.
Well, you heard me at the beginning of mine, so you're all good.
Continue. Yeah. So she's from this, it's not a very big part of Russia, I'm not going to lie. And in her adulthood, she left the provincial life behind when she studied in Moscow at Moscow State Linguistic University.
Oh.
She is better than languages than you and I combined, I think.
Well, I don't have much to contribute.
Yeah. There's not much there. There's not much going for us. So she decided to stay in the bright lights, big city, when she moved to St. Petersburg afterwards, after she graduated. Just hopping around from big city to big city. Though, to be fair, I think at the time it wasn't, you know, at the St. Petersburg you and I know today.
Perhaps
or
not.
I know today. In St. Petersburg, she married Alexei Samsonov, and in 1971, they settled into a new house on Dimitrov, wow, I said that with a French accent, street. Number 4, to be exact.
Number 4?
If you want to go and find this place. I don't know, some people are really into dark tourism.
I mean, you and I were talking about going down into the street. The shutdown subway systems to find mole people.
True.
The episodes ago.
I don't think these neighbors would be too happy about this.
But. And then also you and I went into the catacombs.
We did. We saw all the dead bodies.
Yeah, we did. So 1, 2, 3, 4. I want to see the granny some more. 5, 6, 7, 8. I know she is full of hate.
Okay, oh, true. Samsonova worked in hospitality, interestingly enough.
Brandon?
Particularly in tourism.
Maybe that's why she's so spiteful.
I know, I relate. True. She worked particularly at Grand Hotel Europe, which, for those of you who don't know, is a beautiful luxury hotel on the famed street, Nevsky Prospect. I'm saying everything with a French accent when I get drunk. She worked there for many years. I think it was something like 16 years. So, you know, life seemed normal. Right?
Right.
Right? Wrong.
Oh.
Life spiraled out of control. In the early 2000s, Samsonova's husband went missing. He was gone.
Gone, girl.
It was gone, girl. Samsonova reported her husband's disappearance to the authorities, but his body was never found. Ooh. It didn't take long for Samsonova to be the prime suspect in the case, though the investigations were fruitless. Everything sort of became hushed and was swept under the rug.
Hey, it's like that Taylor Swift song, No Body, No Crime.
I know. All I could think of was that. And then also that one remix to Tiger King. Killed her husband, whacked him.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's where my mind went.
Did she feed him to some tigers?
Who knows at this point, honestly.
Allegedly.
I will say his body still hasn't been found. So.
Oh my God, mysteries.
I know, we're on so many mysteries. Well, some of this isn't a mystery. After the disappearance of her husband, life sort of continued onwards in a weird sort of way. She filled the empty void in her life, as I would say, by renting out a room in her apartment in 2003 to a 44-year-old resident from Norilsk named Volodya. This was a terrible idea. She didn't really get along with people very well, which is surprising given her field of work. Though, as we were talking about before, in hospitality, it's sort of relatable. Eventually, she killed her tenant after a quarrel. And she didn't just stop at murder. No, 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 no. She went fucking apeshit, dismembered the body in her... dismembered the body in her bathtub, oh, and decided it would be a good idea to dispose of the pieces on the street.
On the street?
Yeah. She cut his body into such little pieces that they weren't really able to identify who it was. But you would think that this crime would be kind of obvious, right? Seems a little careless.
A body, a crime.
A body, a crime down the street?
Mincemeat.
Obvious.
Oh my God, that's really bad.
It was mincemeat. Oh my God, why are there themes in our discussions? So unsettling. It was not obvious.
I saw my teeth in the video camera and I'm really disturbed.
It is disturbing. Just like this crime, which no one had figured out, I guess. It was like 12 years later when she would finally be caught for her gruesome crimes, but not before she claimed another victim. So, in 2015, a mutual friend asked 79-year-old Valentina Nikolaevna Ulanova to kindly house Samsonova since her apartment was being renovated or some shit. In return, Samsonova helped with housework, but like a parasite, she began living there more and more and liking it more than returning home. Long after the agreed period. Of course, like any sane person, this distressed Ulanova and the relationship had a falling out. As mentioned before, Samsonova doesn't do too well with quarrels and decided to do the most appropriate response, which was to, I guess, plot murder.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Cheese and rice.
Cheese and rice. Like a terribly done crime movie, Samsonova traveled to the suburbs of Pushkin, and she managed to somehow get a pharmacist to sell her phenazepam, I think I said that right. It's a Soviet drug, which was a prescription benzodiazepine.
Which oh, I think yeah, anxiety.
I know. This one, I think, I believe, was specifically for schizophrenia, which, looking back...
It was a benzo, and it was for...
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of odd. I was trying to read up on it, thinking, how on earth did she manage to get her hands on this drug? But she was also had bouts of poor mental health, so I kind of can see the mistake of prescribing her this drug without a doctor, but still. Yo. So many...
Oh, you know what? I just looked it up real quick. Apparently, benzodiazepines are good for schizophrenia.
Yeah. I think this one in particular, too. I don't know. It's some Soviet drug, so...
It's some shady shit.
It's some shady shit. This doctor that prescribed it to her without a written note is some shady shit. And not just prescribed her some, prescribed her a shit ton.
Oh, no, so Cleo.
Upon her... Oh, no, Cleo. Oh, no. What's her name? Oh, no, Valentina. You don't know what's coming your way. Upon returning to the city, Samsonova plotted to buy one of Ulanova's favorite dishes, an Olivier's salad. I said that with a French accent. It's Russian, I promise you. Because wait till I tell you what's in it.
Sour cream.
It's boiled potatoes, carrots, dill pickles, green peas, eggs, celery root, onions, diced boiled chicken or bologna with salt, pepper, and there's a little bit of mustard to add some flavor. And in proper Russian salad fashion.
Sour. Cream?
No. Oh. No.
Damn. Beets?
You're not wrong. Close. Oh. No, you're not. Close, actually. It's okay. Dressed in mayonnaise. Every salad is in mayonnaise.
That's like out west. All the salads are mayo and jello related.
Yeah. A jello salad.
Mm-hmm.
I think... Anyway, so there's a lot going on in that salad, and Samsonova put a shit ton of pills in the salad. 50 to be exact. And gave it to the unsuspecting, unfortunate, and well-meaning woman.
That is overkill. Of course,
yeah, I was going to say, of course, there was way too much already going on in the salad for this woman to notice mayonnaise drowned phenazepam. 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 That's a tongue twister. Samsonova returned later to find Ulanova lying on the kitchen floor and, like before, proceeded to dismember the body with a saw. Ah. She began chopping off Ulanova's head.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sawing the body in half, and then using knives, she shredded the body into pieces. And I wrote, this is really not appropriate, but I wrote sharded barf.
Mincemeat.
It is mincemeat.
Sharded barf.
Sharded barf.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. As you can imagine, this produced a lot of mess and human matter. Unnecessarily. She had to keep going in and out of her apartment to get rid of all the bags of the body parts. And Samsonova even left other parts of the body scattered around the house. Security footage, after the fact, captured Samsonova dragging large black garbage bags out of her apartment containing the body, and the video is really disturbing. Once you know what's in there...
I hate to admit it, but I'm probably going to look it up later.
Oh, you are. And you're going to look up pictures of her, and you're going to picture that grandmother crawling on the wall.
Ew! No, I'm gonna picture my next assessment, some grandma crawling on the wall and attack me, dragging me out with a garbage bag. Thanks for the nightmares.
We're just not gonna sleep tonight. I love it. After this, a very gruesome, I don't know what you call it, attack? Attack? Murder? All of the above?
Attack and
murder? 3 days. Attack and murder. 3 days later, Ulanova's decapitated body was found near a pond down the street on Dimitrov Street, wrapped in a shower curtain.
This woman is getting bold.
Yeah, she really wasn't that careful.
No.
It's kind of a mystery how it went on for so long. No one really paid this bundle much mind, so it sat there for a while until an unfortunately curious resident walking their dog near Tamara's apartment decided to take a peek. I wouldn't hate to be the person that found that. Ziggy agrees with me. The next day, Ulanova was identified. And of course, the police wanted to explore her apartment first. After they knocked on her door, it was Samsonova who opened it. And within minutes, the police found traces of blood and fastenings from the torn curtain Ulanova's torso was wrapped in. And of course, Samsonova was arrested.
Naturally.
Seems like the obvious choice. In their investigation, police found the business card for her previous victim/tenant, Volodya, and Samsonova admitted to killing him during a quarrel despite his identity not being released. So she knew exactly who he was, even though the police didn't release his identity.
Oh, shit.
So that was very telling. It was like, yeah, just giving away the evidence that wasn't released to the public.
Yeah, that only the killer may know.
I know. But the most telling evidence they found, her diary.
She kept a diary?
She had a diary. And not to let her linguistics degree go to waste, she wrote in English, German, and Russian.
Oh, God. So she confessed in three different languages?
Exactly. Okay, so we're going to go a little bit into it. In it, Samsonova had written, "I killed my tenant, Volodya. I cut him into pieces in the bathroom with a knife, put the pieces of his body in plastic bags, and then threw them away." Very much like what she did to Ulanova. Shockingly, the diary documented 10 possible murders in the last 20 years, intermixed inappropriately with mundane daily activities like drinking coffee and such. She's like, didn't get much sleep last night. Oh, but I murdered this person. It was exactly like that. This evidence.
Coffee, yeah. I murdered someone.
Hey, this dank cup of coffee. Then just decided I'd go and murder somebody. So this evidence paired with the blood spatter found in her apartment and a bloody knife was rather incriminating. But it wasn't just 10 murders. Samsonova claimed to have killed 13 people when she was interviewed, which investigators were still /are trying to connect with cold cases. Unfortunately, she would also go into more detail about the murder of Ulanova in her interview, and apparently Ulanova was allegedly tripping out of her mind, but still alive when Samsonova began dismembering her body.
Oh, God.
And you want to know the reason for this brutal attack?
Coffee.
But you're not far off.
Mincemeat? The salad?
No. Mayonnaise. It was. The reason for this dispute and murder was over dirty cups.
I don't mean to laugh. That's awful.
So you think you have bad roommates sometimes?
Oh my God. How deranged do you have to be?
To murder somebody over dirty cups.
It's a dirty cup.
I feel like this is a bad infomercial, but wait, there's more. The following month, detectives claimed that the number of victims could actually have risen up to 21 people. Eek. While some of this could have been twisted fantasy and quote, dark magic, the evidence was clear that she did, in fact, commit several gruesome murders. Even worse, they believed that some cases, Samsonova also partook in cannibalism. The police were now investigating cannibalism and occult sacrifice. And I believe she would have done wonders on the Cannibal Cafe.
She would have been the queen bee of the Cannibal Cafe. Mm-hmm.
The queen bee of Cannibal Cafe.
Apparently would have overtaken me.
I was just about to ask you, because apparently her favorite delicacy was removing the lungs from her victims and dining on them.
Oh, God.
And she even boiled the head, lungs, and hands of Ulanova on the stove.
Jesus.
And since you were voted the most likely to be on Cannibal Cafe, I just wanted to know your thoughts on this.
I mean, it makes me wildly uncomfortable.
I am wildly uncomfortable. It makes my chest feel funny.
It makes me want to Ralph everywhere. And not because I've been drinking wine, but because that's disturbing.
It's very disturbing. Okay, so Samsonova's culpability wasn't really in question, given all the evidence against her. And in her first court appearance, she confessed to all the murders initially, but then rescinded her statement, sort of, and blamed the neighbors. But after she walked outside, she blew kisses to the reporters.
Oh my God.
And even some of the reports from the trial noted that she giggled during interrogation and at times was disoriented. Her neighbors, who she accused, were horrified by the news, as she lived in the complex for 40 years. And the neighbors explained that she did have a history of mental illness and was possibly even hospitalized during an episode. All right, so given all the evidence that I have stated, Samsonova was put on trial for 14 murders.
Wow.
Yeah. And was deemed mentally incompetent to stand trial, as well as a danger to society. She is now in
that, right?
Yeah, she's a danger to society and herself, is what she was, I guess, formally deemed. She is now in Kazan, being held in a facility for an indefinite amount of time. But I also wanted to just read this quote from her about these murders, especially the one against when she killed Ulanova. She said, "I did it to be known as a serial killer. It's all deliberate. I have been preparing for this day for 10 years. I'm a very old person, and I now have nowhere to live, so I just decided that I must go to prison." Isn't that messed up?
First off, I have doubts that that's the reason why, because,
no.
God, there's certainly other ways. Can you imagine getting to a ripe old age and then deciding to kill someone just so you get like a meal, like three hot meals and a shitty bed for the rest of your life behind bars? Like
this person, you just get in a dispute over some dirty dishes and then bam,
dead.
You're like,
I think that's just kind of
my
like
excuse for-
because I still could not live with myself if I ever. I killed an aunt the other day, and I felt super guilty. Even though they've overtaken our apartment, I feel so bad.
Oh my God.
There was one time, speaking of spiders, there was one time a spider was in the drain back in our home in Maine, and I turned on the faucet, and I went down the drain, and I felt so awful. It's like, I killed this little thing. And then it started crawling out of the drain. And I was so happy. It was like it was like inspirational music in the background as I run and grab a frantically run and grab like a strand of toilet paper to help coax it out of the train.
Oh my god, I'm like picturing some Rocky music.
And I ran out the screen door and threw it outside.
And now it comes back to bite you.
Yeah.
Andrea, you really need to get that checked out. It's huge. Your entire hand is swollen.
I can barely bend my hand without it hurting.
Your hand is so swollen.
Look how huge it is right now.
Your hand is red and swollen. It's huge, Andrea.
I have man hands. Hulk smash.
Oh my god, you just healed that into the...
I feel like I have, like, this is turning into, like, a purple Hulk hand.
Yeah, it's like a purple version of Hulk.
Yeah.
We're just going through all the superheroes. You're a mix of, like, Spider-Man and Hulk.
Yeah, exactly. That story is unsettling.
Both of these are really unsettling.
I don't like grandmas who kill. It's like scary children. It's very unsettling. You're not supposed to be like that.
I know. Like, middle-aged? Okay. If you're past retirement, no. No, you have to be well past retirement.
If you're, like, a young or middle-aged man, yeah.
I expect these things of you.
I almost expect these things, although I wish I didn't have to.
I know. Same.
But you're an old grandma?
Grandma.
Grandma?
Who is, like, helping with some chores.
Can you imagine if your grandma was a serial killer?
I think it's like one of the creepiest kinds.
It makes me so uncomfortable. Well, on that note, I need something to help me fall asleep at night, Emily. Do you have any palate cleansers?
I thought of something, and then it escaped me.
Don't worry, we only just do this every week.
I know. My life is really not that exciting.
Mine isn't either. I had to sit here for about 30 minutes to think of something.
I was just thinking about, like, the times in Russia, because I got really nostalgic during this episode. Or writing,
Moscow.
And Moscow. St. Petersburg. But I was also telling stories about my apartment, because people didn't believe me.
I remember you talking about that in one of our previous episodes, actually, yes.
I know, because then I remembered when I was thinking about it that we did actually talk about it, and I almost forgot about it. But then there's also some things I don't really talk about in Russia.
I'm there.
Not bad. I loved it. I would go back in a heartbeat.
Care to share?
Oh, it was just a really, like, tumultuous time. The relations between Americans and Russians are not very good. And it just led to some really interesting interactions. But then also, like, I would go and get pancakes with some Russians at, like, midnight. There's this one diner called the Starlight Diner, like, just around...
That sounds like an American diner.
It was trying to be, but it made pancakes, I kid you not, better than any pancake I've had in the U.S.
Dang, were they light and fluffy?
I wrote them a note.
Crepe?
They were so light and fluffy, and I had to write them a note in Russian saying that you make pancakes better than in the U.S.
I guess I'm going to have to go now.
Yeah, you have to go to Russia just for the pancakes.
You doubt me. I certainly will.
Just take your chicken leg house over.
I'll fly my little chicken leg apartment over. Baba Yaga here. Can I have your pancakes? Sorry about my mutant spider bites. Don't mind me. My hand's just 3 times too big.
What about you? Do you have any palate cleansers?
Well, as I sat here, the only one I could really think of, and it's an absolutely delightful one, was I got to spend this past weekend with my family, our family. So our older brother, Nick, his fiancée, and our future sister-in-law, Sarah, our cousin, Brandon, and obviously my boyfriend, Brendan, making centerpieces for the wedding. And I actually had so much fun. It was so aesthetic. Gonna play around with flowers and different materials, and it was a grand old time. We were just drinking, and we stayed up late and making these centerpieces.
It's a lovely time.
Twas a lovely time.
So I can't believe it's coming up.
I know. It's August. Can you believe? I'm a little bit nervous. So coming up this weekend, I guess when this gets released, actually, yeah. Coming up the weekend that this is released, we
wish us luck.
Are going to be at a bachelorette party. It will be my first bachelorette party. What about yours?
Not quite mine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You went to Brenda's.
I went to Brenda's.
True. Well, it'll be my first ever, so I'm very excited. But
if we're going to a winery, a brewery, and a distillery, all the Uries.
The GURPS are going to come out.
Oh, boy. I feel like we talk a big game, but that kind of actually scares me, that marathon.
It scares me, too, after drinking a red blend that stains my face. Well, we talk a big game, but we're actually... It's like a lion compared to a common house cat. We are the common house cats. We don't know what we're talking about. We just drink some wine each time we record, which is once a week.
But to be fair, we have some fun.
We do have some fun. By some, I mean a lot of fun.
This is like the buggy episode. I can hear it.
You have a Musquat in your bedroom?
It's going to bite me and I'm going to swell up to 3 times my size like you. Andrea, that's really horrible. You need to get that checked out.
Stay tuned.
I don't know if I'm gonna show. Are you recording this video for people?
No. I mean, I have the picture I sent you, which is still pretty bad. I was squeezing the pus out of it. I just need to explain.
Ew, Andrea. Ew. Because I feel like I need to explain to the viewers the fact that your hand is like massive and red. Like it's not just like a bug bite where it's like
shiny my hand is.
It's like the entire back of her hand is just swollen and red.
Actually, it's like a good bit of my hand because I can't even move my thumb without feeling how swollen it is.
Yeah.
I got little dimples. There's actually like a red line going down my wrist too.
It probably looks like one of those gloves that you blow up.
It does actually. Like a medical glove. Yeah, actually, it's pretty swollen. Oh no. Well, if you want to send me spider remedies / Emily spider remedies or mosquito remedies, as she will be experiencing later, you can send them to Emily.
grizzlygrapes@gmail.com.
That you can. And guess what? We have an Instagram. And again,
that we do.
There are some pictures from tonight's episode that you will want to see.
You can also comment no.
You can also comment no on anything we post on Instagram. And that's fine. I will just have to interpret what you mean. And that is Emily.
What was it? At Grizzly Grapes?
Yes. And the same thing at Twitter, which I will occasionally post some ramblings and certain thoughts that I think are personally funny. However, you can also comment no on those. And that is Twitter.
At Grizzly Grapes.
Yeah, you bet. And guess what? We have a Patreon.
Oh my goodness.
Where if you want to see some video clips from any of the video episodes that we record, or if you just want special content and to connect with a special inside community of Grizzly Grapes, you can always follow us at Patreon
grizzlygrapes.com.
And if you can't find anything that we're talking about because you are just a little bit lost, you can find us at
www.grizzlygrapes.com,
which is our website. So if you want to find any of our social media, our Patreon, and guess what? Merch, you can go over to our website. So,
oh my god, thank you guys. I love the merch.
Yeah, the merch slaps, actually. I'm very proud. Thank you, Threadless. Well, on that note, Emily.
Stay
Gurpy.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.